says in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true. But the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were finished, were fulfilled. And then it goes on, in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen. I want to notice here that Daniel was seeking the Lord in prayer, and it was kind of a fast. There was an earnestness. He laid aside his pleasant bread and flesh and no wine, and neither did I anoint myself at all for 3 whole weeks. So he was really seeking God. He was really looking to the Lord in prayer. And we recognize that just after this, he sees the vision and God comes and answers his prayer. And I want to encourage us this evening also. Prayer sometimes, I believe, is underestimated. But it's very, and I want to, as we look through the scriptures to this, I want to recognize the relevance and the value of prayer, and to recognize that God hears and answers prayer. Okay, now looking over at Daniel, the 9th chapter, and the 3rd verse, he said, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments." So here he was praying and asking forgiveness. The nation had sinned and failed God, and God had brought trouble and judgment to them. But here again, Daniel is seeking seeking the Lord through the avenue of prayer. "I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications." Another scripture is in Daniel, the 6th chapter. And the 7th verse, this was the time where the king of Persia, Darius, put Daniel over the kingdom under him. There was 3 presidents, I believe, and Daniel was over them, and they were jealous. And it mentions that they couldn't find any fault in his life. And so they said, if we get him, it's going to be with his God. And that's what they did. They had the king. They used the king. They had him to sign a decree that no one could pray to anyone else but the king. In verse 10, it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." Now here was a threat, and I want us to get a picture of how committed Daniel was to seek God through prayer. It's very important for us today in our Christian life. Daniel was very I believe he was a sincere man, but he sought God through prayer and looking to him. And even though he was threatened, I believe the scripture earlier told them, Solomon, in Solomon's prayer, he said, when thy people have sinned and you've made them to go into captivity, if they'll turn their faces toward Jerusalem and pray. And that's what Daniel's doing here. He is obeying that command. He's facing Jerusalem. He's praying to God that God would hear and answer their prayer. And I believe today that you and I, we need a strong commitment to a prayer life. We're not going to get very far in the Christian life without having a good prayer life, a foundation, a place that we're able to seek God. And as the song brought out, sometimes we carry burdens that we should be giving to God in prayer. And we can, today, we don't have to have fancy words. We don't have to have a certain lingo. We just open our hearts up to God and talk to God and seek God, to seek His face and His help and His blessing. And the Lord hears and answers prayer. Now, I want us to notice a few scriptures in the New Testament. Now, how many times did Daniel pray? Three times a day. And I want us to take note of this as we go along. Acts 1 and 14. Acts 1 and 14, this was right after the Lord had ascended. And it says in verse 13, it said, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon, Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So here was the day, and I believe they were in one accord at the time of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit. And I don't know how it works, but there is a connection with prayer and what's taken place in the spiritual realm. There's a connection with our prayer and what God does in the spiritual world that we don't see altogether with our natural eyes. But there is a connection there. Another scripture I wanted to get is Acts, the third chapter. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. It said, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Now here they're going to prayer, and we say that Daniel was committed to prayer, and we also recognize in the scriptures that the early church was also very committed to prayer. And they're on their way to the temple. The ninth hour is actually about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. When they went to prayer, when they saw this man. Psalms, Acts 10 and 9. Acts 10 and 9 says, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, I'm sorry, I want to drop down here. Let's read verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming unto him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. So here this man is, he is seeking God. He's praying. And something is happening in the spiritual world. God is sending help. He's sending an answer to him. And he mentions, he said, and now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them, and waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Now, verse 9, it says, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh into the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Folks, everything that's happening here is in conjunction with prayer. When we pray, things begin to happen and begin to move and begin to work. Now, here's Peter. He doesn't have any idea what all is going on, but he goes up to the housetop. He's waiting for the meal. Let's see, the sixth hour. I wrote that down. The sixth hour is 12 noon. We have a scripture. I want to get Psalms 55 and 16. Psalms 55 and verse 16. David, it says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. I want to say there's something. Now, Acts, this was about noon for Peter. And what I understand of the Jews, that they had, it was 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and 3 o'clock were times of prayer that they observed. Daniel observed 3 times of prayer. I'm not trying to propagate 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and 3 o'clock. But I am propagating a real commitment to seek God in prayer. They were committed to prayer. They were seeking God through prayer. And we recognize things begin to happen and things changed, and God answered prayer. And we want to have that same commitment. Whenever we can pray, if it's on our lunch break, if we have an hour lunch break, spend some time in prayer with God. It don't take very long to eat. Take a few moments to spend time. And when we do that, you know, I thought 3 times, you know, a lot of times we get up, we have prayer in the morning, but sometimes we, you know, we pray for our meal, but many times we don't spend much time in prayer when we pray for our meal. We just pray and we ask God for the food, and if there's a special need at times, sometimes we'll remember that, and then we go on and we eat. But when we're committed to prayer, it refocuses our attention on the Spirit. You know, it's so easy to get caught up in our days and we get lost and we're not in touch and we're not attuned. And it's so easy to get frustrated. It's so easy to get stressed out. It's so easy to get lost in our difficulties. But if we're committed to prayer and we're taking time during the day, somewhere, whenever we can, a few moments, Lord, I want to talk to you. I need your strength. I need your help. Something that will tune our spirit in to what God is wanting to do. Now, I noticed this recently that Jesus mentioned. He said, I don't do anything except for what I see my Father do. What he does, that is what I do. And I noticed Jesus, before he chose the apostles, he went out and spent the night in prayer. It's through prayer where God reveals by His Spirit and helps us to see the things of God. And when that prayer life is not intact, then we don't recognize what God is doing. We don't recognize, and that is very important for us to work in conjunction with God and what the Lord is working with. And I believe that's where God can work greater and bless more is when we're working and we recognize we're taking time for prayer, and I begin to see the Spirit brings things to my heart and to my mind, and then I'm able to follow. I'm able to do what God wants me to do. But if we don't have that commitment to prayer, we're going to miss many blessings that God has for us. And this is a wonderful, here Cornelius is praying, seeking God, and the Lord sends a special visitation to him. And Peter is praying on the housetop, and the Holy Spirit speaks to him and gives him a vision. Do you think they would have got all that if they weren't praying? Probably not. It probably would have, the opportunities probably just would have passed by. But they were seeking God through prayer, and the Lord began to reveal. I believe Peter has the time that he had the vision, and he saw the meat come down, and he said, the voice said, arise and eat. And he said, I don't eat unclean things. And the voice said, what God has cleansed, don't call thou common or unclean. And it happened three different times. And then all of a sudden, here's these three men. You see the timing of how the Lord works? And if we're in tune with the Spirit, with prayer, through prayer, and we're seeking God, God can begin to reveal things to our hearts, in our lives. And we can work in conjunction with what God is trying to do. Lord, help us today to have a real commitment to a prayer life of seeking God. And I mentioned the other night, sometimes we get so bogged down with prayer requests. And I, you know, those are important, those are valuable, but the Lord wants to talk to us. He wants to talk to our hearts. He wants to know how we're feeling. He wants us to communicate with Him, and then He wants us to take time to listen to Him. And I know that He can. I remember one time I was seeking the Lord in prayer, and the mailman came across our porch. It was actually Bobby Dean. You remember Bobby Dean? Well, we had a wooden porch, and I was in there on my knees, and I heard him come across the porch. And you know what the Lord spoke to me as I heard his feet cross the porch? And the Lord, the Spirit said to me, I have a message for you in the mail. And I was excited. There's something for me in the mail. And I went and opened, got the mail. You know, he was pretty quick. He was gone by the time I got to the door to get the mail. But I brought the mail and I started looking. And there was something for me in the mail. And I opened the envelope and looked. And somebody had sent me a tract. Now, you may not think, well, that's not a big deal. The big deal of it was this person didn't know what the Lord had been dealing with me the past week. He didn't know. And it was the same, this tract was the same thing that God had been talking to me about. But it was when I was in prayer when the Lord spoke to me, so it was there was a confirmation, this is from God. And the Lord can do that for us. The Lord can give us those confirmations, and He can bless and help us through prayer. I want to notice the scripture, James, the 5th chapter, familiar scripture. It's very important. James, the 5th chapter. In the 16th verse, he says, confess your faults one to another. And pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then he goes on and says, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, what are these verses saying to us here? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. But he also says Elijah was a man subject to like passions. You know, sometimes we put Elijah, and we put Daniel, and we put the apostles, we just put them on a high pedestal somewhere. And we think, you know, I'm not one of them. But that's what this verse is so encouraging, because Elijah was human. He had weaknesses. You remember the time on Mount Carmel when the Lord told him to gather them down, gather all the Israelites there, and they had that showdown between Baal and between the God of heaven, and God sent the fire and consumed the sacrifice. That was all Elijah. But what happened right after that? Jezebel threatened him after that great victory, and he took off running. You know, Elijah was human, and the Lord asked him, he said, Elijah, what are you doing here in this cave? What dost thou here, Elijah? He was human, but he got his prayer answered. We're human. We may have weaknesses. We may feel like we can't do maybe what other people can do, but we can pray, and we can get answers to prayer. If we are committed to it and committed to God, the Lord can hear and answer our prayer also and bless us. And I wanted to mention, we don't have to go there, but in 1 Corinthians 16, chapter and the 9th verse, it says, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me. And I believe that we want to pray for the Lord's kingdom to be advanced. We want to pray for the lost. We want to pray that God's Spirit would move and work in the hearts and lives of people. And we need to pray that God, and Paul requested prayer for that too. He also prayed that a door of utterance would be opened up to him. And we can pray that way also. And I've had the Lord answer that prayer so many times. So many times I prayed, Lord, open the door today for me to be able to share something with somebody, to be a blessing and a help to somebody. And you know, it's amazing. It's in the Lord just out of nowhere. Here's a door and an opportunity that opens up. And it's just like, here it is. A place to share your testimony, a place to pray with someone or share a scripture that God has given to you. So I know that works. If we pray that God would open doors for us to be a blessing, a channel of blessing, He can open the doors that no man can shut. And He can close doors that no man can open. But at many times it's going to be through praying and through seeking Him. I want to notice now just a few elements of prayer. About prayer, the things the Scriptures teach us about prayer. What are some of the important elements of our that should be in our prayers? What's that? Thankfulness. Okay. How does that affect a parent's heart? You know, when there's a real thankful spirit, you want to be there. It just blesses you, and you want to provide, and you want to give. But if there's a real negative, it's almost you pull back and get the attitude corrected, and then, you know what I'm talking about? Then maybe we'll see. But thanksgiving, He said, come before His presence with singing and thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a very important way to start our prayers, thanking God for what He has done, remembering the blessings that He's given to us, and the many times that He has helped us out. That's a very important element of prayer, is an attitude of worship and adoration to God in prayer. What else is important in prayer?
Faith.
What's that?
Faith.
Okay.
Can you give us a scripture?
Okay. Without faith, impossible to please God. Jesus, in one place, he said, when you stand praying, he said, believe that you receive. You know, sometimes we can be praying prayers of unbelief. In the back of our minds, we can be saying words, but we're not really expecting an answer. We want to believe. When we come to God, we want to believe that he has the willingness, the desire to help us, the love and the care for us. We've got to believe in him and believe that he'll answer prayer. That's very important in prayer. And come with an expectation. Okay, what else? What's that?
A reverence.
A reverence, okay. We're approaching the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords reverently with thanksgiving and praise, appreciation. I know when there's a child that's that way, it's just you just want to do for them. You want to, when they show appreciation, you just want to bless them more, it seems like. I'm thinking of also where Jesus talked about when you enter your closet, he said, shut the door and pray to your Father which is in heaven. Okay, let's focus. Focus is put focus. Have you ever been praying with your lips and your mind was in tomorrow or yesterday? Or all the things that you had to do? That's not effectual. He said, when you enter into closet, close the door. Shut the door. Get rid of the distractions. You know, sometimes we got to get rid of the cell phones. We got to put it aside and focus our attention. And it takes an exercise. That's not always easy. To bring your mind, this is prayer time. I'm seeking the Lord. I need his help, his favor, and his blessing. I want to know him better. And so we close those things out. That's when the Lord is able to begin to commune with our hearts. When we get everything else shut out, he's able to begin to speak to us and to reveal and help us at those times. I'll just say, this kind of goes along, but from the heart. The Lord wants to hear from our heart. It's not just a set of words or a prayer formality. He wants to hear from our heart. And you know, there's something special about close friends where you can reveal yourself, that you can share, share with one another deeper things that have touched your life and affected your life, knowing that they're trustworthy and they'll have confidence, hold confidence, you might say. That's very vital for a friendship. It's very vital for our relationship with God, too. It's a communication from the heart. Sometimes it's easy to give maybe the cliched answers. And the Lord doesn't want those. He wants to hear from our heart. So there was a commitment to prayer, and I believe there's a song that, I don't know if it's in that blue book, but there's a song that talks about fathers praying ground. Is that in the blue book? Can I get a? I also wanted to mention real quick too, Jesus mentioned, he said, watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And prayer helps us many times from entering into a temptation or a place. God is able to reveal to us and help us to recognize the temptation for what it is. But in this verse it says, in this modernistic day, some have strayed too far away from our Father's camp meeting praying ground. We used to fast and pray all day and ask the Lord to have His way back there on our Father's praying ground. Through the country we would ride with our children by our side, traveling through the storm and rain, just the same, going to the house of the Lord where we would bow in one accord, singing, come ye that love the Lord in Jesus' name. And then it says, the chorus says, let us go back to our Father's praying ground. God is not pleased. Let us go back on bended knees to a far away, some have strayed. Just now and then a soul is saved. Let us go back to our Father's praying ground. It's very important for us today to be able to tune the world out and seek God through prayer and to tarry. And I mentioned this the other night. I hope it's not too repetitive. But it's going to take time. It's not something you just rush and get through. And I want us to be challenged too of our attitude. Don't look at it as something like a checklist to get through and go on my way. You know, we can really develop a love for prayer. We can develop, you know, we sing that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. I believe that man had a commitment of prayer. Sweet Hour of Prayer. There's one song where the man, I heard the story, that the man would close his shop at noon. And he had prayer. He spent time in prayer. And I know God works. We can see through the scripture God works through prayer. And I just want to encourage us in that way that we have a prayer life. And I want to share one more scripture. John, the 15th chapter. In the fourth verse, he said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. You know, he made that very clear that I'm the vine and you are the branches. We're not the vine. We're just the branch. And I feel like the theme of these little services that we have is our connection with God. It's so important. A personal connection with Jesus Christ through putting Him first, surrendering our all, and seeking Him through prayer. When those things are in place, when there is a connection with the Lord, it's going to work right. He's able to lead us. He's able to guide us. He's able to help us in every situation, every circumstance that we find ourselves. But when the connection is broke, when there's a disconnect somewhere, then the promises are not fulfilled and God is not able to do what He wants to do. Our life depends upon abiding in the Lord. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. And I want to, one more thing on prayer is persevere with it. Jesus gave the illustration about the widow that came back to the unjust judge. She kept coming back. And the judge finally avenged her. Don't give up on prayer. Don't give up just because you don't see something. We read in Daniel where Daniel had prayed for 3 weeks. He was seeking the Lord 3 weeks, but the answer came. Let's pray with expectancy. Let's pray with our hearts. And let's allow God to work through our lives.